monster that this washerman in the night before he was in Ram Lila.
Uh-huh.
He was the one who was talking bad about Ram, his wife.
Uh-huh.
When Ram was in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it?
Yeah. And today will be a connection also in that level with past life. So today we will enter the chapter of the Lila with Kupcha, the meeting of Krishna and Balaram with Kupcha. I think I filled up 9 pages of summary of that pastime, and I somehow did not get to the end. I was all the time thinking, now it will be the end, and the pages were filling up. So let's see how fast we will go through that. Maybe we can split the pastimes in 2, or otherwise we can finish whatever I have prepared, and maybe last time we just end with what was remaining from the pastime. So after having received the garland from Sudam, Krishna, Balaram, all the cowboy went again on the main street, the king's road, or the road of the enemy, King Kamsa. And walking on that street, there were thousands and thousands of people. I think you have seen often in India, and especially on the main road, it's all the time filled up with people. So on those roads, Krishna, Madhava, Balaram and the cowboy continue their entrance into Mathura. Now, on the street, in the midst of all those people, the eyes of Krishna fell on one person. She was actually a very beautiful lady, but she has her back bent. She was hunchback person. And she was carrying a trail, a golden trail, in which there was many, many balls. And inside those balls were many different kind of sandalwood paste. She was actually a servant of the king, and she was ready to go to the king and apply those ointments on the king, on the king's body. That was her service for the king. Now when Krishna saw her, he decided, I want to meet that person. So he came closer to that person, and somehow, after a while, they were front of each other, both front of each other. Now we have to know that Kupcha was very, very expert in her art to make sandalwood paste. Is anyone of you do not know what is sandalwood paste? That's, they take some wood, which is called sandalwood, and out of that, they make a paste. They rub it against a stone. They make a paste. And often in the temple, they offer that to the deities. And then they offer the maha to the devotee. Often they put on the forehead like this. And it has a cooling effect. Yeah, like this.
What?
Cooling. It's making cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was very, very expert in making those paste, sandalwood paste. Now, on this journey, Krishna somehow came across this woman and somehow got stuck front of that woman. And here, actually, there will be in the beginning few advices for brahmacharis that Krishna is teaching through his pastimes. And here the first teaching is that actually, when one becomes attracted by a beautiful woman, his journey may stop. that's the first teaching. And we can see in the Shastras, for many, many very great saints, very advanced sadhus, sannyasis or Mahabhagavat or whatever, often they were put in a very dangerous situation by this attraction to bodily beauty of a woman. So it's something quite dangerous, and here Krishna is showing a little example how it can stop one's journey. And it is said that in this world there is also attachment to wealth, there is also attachment to prestige, which are also very, very difficult to overcome. But more than these two, wealth and prestige, is the attachment to the opposite sex that is the strongest. Now, Kubja was an incarnation of Bhu Devi. And Bhu Devi is the earth, Mother Earth. So she was an incarnation of Bhu Devi. And actually, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said that Bhu Devi is actually an expansion from Satyabhama. Just for us to know, just as an informative statement. Now, the earth was under the burden of very tyrannic people at that time. So the earth was also bent under the weight of that burden. And so was Kubja. Now the earth, we say that the earth is giving fragrance. From the earth, fragrance rise. And therefore, Kubja was also distributing sandalwood paste, which has also a lot of fragrance. Thousands of people were walking on that street. Krishna saw Kubja, somehow found himself in front of her. And what he did? He started to laugh. Arriving in front of her, he started to laugh. Now, why was he laughing? What was there to laugh about? So the acharyas give different explanations why Krishna was laughing. One explanation is that Krishna was thinking, in a previous incarnation, I was Vamana. I was a small dwarf. And because Kubja, she is bent in three places and she's also low in size, we would have made a good match. So that was what Krishna thought, and that was making him actually laugh. Another reason, when Krishna saw her, he saw she was very beautiful, but he was thinking, why did Lord Brahma make her back so bent? So he laughed, thinking of what foolishness did Brahma did? What mistake Brahma did here with her? So that was another reason for his laughter. As we know, there are different type of humors, and sometimes some type of humors make everyone laugh, but another one, sometimes it's interesting when we are in different countries, sometimes you tell a joke which belongs to your country that usually everyone laughs like anything, but everyone looks at you without laughing. There are different types of humor, I won't say. So also there, Krishna was laughing. Also there are some things that are very humorous, maybe for our perspective, but maybe some a little bit less. But there are different reasons why Lord Krishna was laughing. Another reason was that Krishna was thinking, what if the gopis would see me now? I was with them in Vrindavan, I was in close association with them, and now what if they will see me now close to this hunchback lady? What will they think about me? Another reason he was thinking, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am giving rasa. Rasa means pleasure to the whole world. And now I'm in front of her, wanting to ask for her to give me this sandalwood paste, this rasa. So thinking, actually everything belongs to me, but now I'm there, here, to ask from there and invoke laughter in Krishna. And there is a fifth reason for his laughter. It is custom that if a man laughs in front of a woman, and the woman does not become angry at him, it is a sign that the man has conquered the woman. That means she is under his control. Usually if someone starts to laugh at you, it's very easy that you become a little disturbed. Why is he laughing? The ego usually comes. So the fact that a person is able to remain unagitated or not angry if someone laughed at you, especially in relation with men and women, that means the man has conquered the woman if she doesn't become angry. So another explanation, that's what Krishna wanted to try, to see if she would become angry or not, or if he would have some chance to get the sandalwood paste. Now, during these all pastimes, I will repeat a few times the same sentences. That's the main message of the pastime. That's something important that actually is asked from us to do. We are now listening, but something more has to be done. Actually, when we hear like this the pastimes of the Lord, one should very deeply think of what he is hearing. One should very deeply visualize also inside of his mind what is happening. Visualize that big road with so many people, Krishna, Balaram, all the cowboy walking there. Then there is the meeting with Kubja, Krishna starting to laugh. It's something that should be visual inside of our mind, that we should very deeply think of all those, why this happened like this, why this happened like that. Last time, sometimes I have difficulty to... Ananda Tirtha. Sometimes names slip out of my mind. Last time Ananda Tirtha told us at the end of the pastimes, it was very colorful. So during the pastimes he could have a vision of what was happening. And that's actually one thing we have to do when we hear those descriptions. We have to deeply visualize them inside our heart. We should think, ponder about why things happen like this, why things happen like that. We should involve our mind into the pastime. Now Krishna start to address Kubja. So he said, "Hey, Varoru." He's calling her Varoru. And Varoru means beautiful tied one. And that's a term that only husband will use to their wife. So Krishna now is coming in front of her and he's calling her like if he will be his husband. And then he asks, "Who are you? And for who are those ointments that you have on your trail?" That's his question to Kubja. Now it's a little bit impudent like this. In the midst of all those people, that suddenly Krishna comes, he laughed at her, and then he called her like if he would be his husband, and then he asked, "Who are you? For who is that?" But we should remember that all those pastimes, what is happening here, it's happening with Krishna. And Krishna is not an ordinary person. And that's a point to keep in mind. Although he's often acting like an ordinary person, but he's actually Bhagavan. So he has the right to act in such straight and such bold way. Now, before even waiting for an answer of those two questions from Kubja, he asked a third question. Or even an order. He said, "Please give us this sandalwood paste." And then he gave back a smile to her. Now here we have another interesting teaching. It is said that when a person becomes attracted to the beauty of a woman, or of a man for woman, he will lose his intelligence. And we know that Krishna is all-knowing. He knows everything. But now he's asking like he forgot, or he don't know who she is, for who is that trail. And moreover, he's even not waiting for the answer, that he again asks other questions, or even give orders. And that's also a sign of losing intelligence. It is said that women are called abala. That means weak by nature, by on the physical level, little weak, little abala. But woman has a much stronger force, and that is the force of attraction. And whoever becomes deeply attraction, and especially not by the heartful qualities, but by the bodily features, he will lose his intelligence. So that's what Krishna wanted to show us. Even though Krishna knows everything, he was just asking question. He was not even waiting for an answer so that he will give an order. And that's the sign of someone who loses intelligence. One who loses intelligence, he asks a question, but he don't remember what question he did ask. He might ask again the question. He don't even wait for an answer. He asks another question. That's the sign of losing intelligence. But don't worry, a little later there will be praise for women also. That's a little bit. That's actually praise together with warning, and especially for brahmacharis. So Krishna said, if you give me this sandalwood paste, I will give you a sublime reward. I will give you very, very high reward. And here also we see in the Shastras, often when someone is begging, before begging, he will tell what will be the reward. If you give me this, oh, you will get that. That's like to encourage the person to give. I don't know if you do that in book distribution also. So maybe, this book is so good. So Krishna did the same. He was not sure Kupcha will give him the sandalwood paste. So he said, I will give you such a sublime reward if you give me this sandalwood paste. Now for Kupcha to give to Krishna this sandalwood paste was actually not such an easy thing. She was the servant of the king. The king was a tyrant, was a very cruel person, and the street was full of people who would see what was happening. So everyone would see that she was actually giving what was meant for the king to Krishna. So when Krishna asked, please give me this sandalwood paste, in other words was, please give me your life. She was risking her life. He was asking her to make actually a big step of surrender by giving him this sandalwood paste. But Kupcha had fallen in love. Kupcha had been so attracted by Krishna's smiles, by his talk, his way of talking, even by his laughter, she had been attracted. So Kupcha replied. Kupcha said, I am a dasi. I am a servant. But she do not tell of whom, if she is a servant of Kamsa or if she is a servant of Krishna. She just said, I am dasi. And because Krishna previously had called her Sundari, oh beautiful one, now she replied by saying Sundara, Sundar, and Sundar. She is showing like reciprocation to him. And then she said that for my service, the service I'm doing for Kamsa, Kamsa likes me very much. And she's showing how it's difficult to actually now give those ointments to him. She's showing that Kamsa likes that very much, and what if he would hear? Now Kamsa was really in the role of a king, a tyrannic king. He was all the time having so many servants for so many small things. For cutting nails, he would have a servant. For combing the hairs, he would have a servant. For putting socks, he would have a servant. So he was really in the position of Ishvara. Now there is, in this connection, the story of a king, a Muslim king. I think we call them Nabab. The Nabab of Lucknow. He was like Kamsa. Everything was done by servants. And every day when he would go for a walk, servant would come to tie his shoes. Now one day the English people came to invade India, and they came to his kingdom, and at that time everyone just ran away. So the king wanted to run, but he did not have his shoes on. So he was calling, please someone come and put my shoes, please someone come and put my shoes. But everyone was just gone. But he could not go, and he was caught by the British. So in India, often when a person is lazy, they tell him, don't be like the Nabab of Lucknow. Mm-hmm. So Kamsa was in that category, but he was very cruel. It was logical that Kupcha could fear to give those ointments to Krishna. But because she had fallen in love, she said to Krishna and Balaram, you both, you actually deserve. You should receive this sandalwood paste. In other words, I want to give them to you. And then she said that, actually, I am your servant. Now Krishna could have thought, how can you say you are my servant? You are serving Kamsa from morning to evening, and now you tell you are my servant? So Kupcha said, no, I am servant of Kamsa just because of family lineage. From ancestors, they were all the time serving the king, serving Kamsa. But I'm actually not. And from now on, I stop my service to the king. I resign right now. Now I am your servant, and I want to give that sandalwood paste only to you. Now previously, Krishna had asked Kupcha, who are you? So before giving the ointments, she wants to give explanation. She wants to present herself. So she said, my name is Trivikram. And Trivikram means bent in three places. She was bent at the neck, she was bent at the chest, and she was bent at the lower back. So she said, my name is Trivikram. And by saying that, she hinted, she was thinking, I am bended in three places, but you also, you are called Tribhanga. Huh? So actually, Lord Brahma, by making you Tribhanga and by making me Trivakra, he had actually shown that we are fit to be together. That's Brahma's sign that we are a good match. She also told him Trivakram means crooked. So my name is crooked, my body is crooked, but actually my heart is simple. Please believe that. And here it is said that most of the women, they have a very simple heart. They are not crooked by nature. Now it's interesting when Kupcha spoke to Krishna, answered to Krishna, she called him Sundara, O beautiful one. But then she understood that many people were there and they might notice her expression for loving exchange with Krishna. So then she used the term Yuvam. which means for both of you. She included Balaram. I want to give those ointment for both of you to somehow hide this loving feeling she had mostly for Krishna. So now Kupcha is ready. She said, now this ointment are for you. I give to you. So just try to imagine what Sarada she's now doing. This surrender, this is what we can call bhakti. Now we are calling ourselves bhaktas. What did we give up for the Lord? What did we abandon for the Lord? We are all the time engrossed in material thought. Can we call ourselves bhaktas? So here is little. Shukadev Goswami said that there was 6 reasons for Kupcha to fall in love with Krishna. There was the beauty, extreme beauty of Krishna Rupa, of the form of Krishna. It is said that all the limbs of Krishna, they are all more beautiful one than another. When someone looks at Krishna, he just looks at every limb that is attracted by all the limbs. They are all simultaneously attractive. So the Rupa, the form of Krishna, was attracting. There is the charming attitude of Krishna and the tenderness of Krishna were another reason. His nature of being sweet was another one. His smile, another one. His words, another one. And his glance. These 6 items were what conquered, actually, Kupcha. So she very boldly surrendered. This sandalwood is for you. Now we are devotee. We should deeply ponder about that. We should deeply think of those points. We should not just hear Lila and at the end everything is done. Ogya, we heard it. Let's do something else. Now, these points that we should think, meditate, how Kupcha is now ready to do such a step of surrender. How much devotion had Kupcha? Now, on her trail, all those sandalwood paste were mixed with herbs, with perfumes. There were very many different kinds of sandalwood paste. She was actually very, very expert in the art of making sandalwood paste. There is a little story about becoming expert in one's service. When they were building up the Taj Mahal, which is one of the 6 most amazing beauty of the world, there was a man who was making the cement masala, the mixture of cement to build walls and things like this. And he was taking a lot of time to do this cement masala. So one day the boss came to him and started to shout at him and tell him bad words, why you take so long and things like this. And when the boss left, the man became angry and took a little of this masala and throw to the boss. Now somehow he did not get the boss, but the cement masala fell on the wall of the Taj Mahal. And nobody saw that in the beginning, but then when they had to remove it, they all understood it was really a good masala, really a good mixture. So by all this time he was doing it, he was actually making super quality into that. And I think here also it's an example of, for us, we all have some type of service which is given to us. Service to Krishna, service to the Vaishnavas. And this shows us actually how we should we should go deeper and deeper and deeper in the details of how we are doing our service. We should actually increase the quality of our service more and more so that we can really have a pleasing result to Krishna. So she had her tray, she had all the ointments. Now she could have given the tray to Krishna and said, "Here it is, please enjoy." But no, she thought, "I want to give that personally to Krishna and Balarama." So she started with her own hands to apply the sandalwood paste on Krishna and Balarama. And she started by the stomach, up the chest, the arms and the face. She did the whole body. I mean the whole upper body. When we do that, we always put a little on the forehead, but she decorated the entire upper body of Krishna and Balarama. Those sandalwood paste was very shining and had many different colors. Now she used yellow color for Krishna, golden colors for Krishna, and she used darkish color for Balarama. So they were like exchange of personality. Krishna was looking very bright and Balarama was looking much darker. Then, because Krishna and Balarama were quite young, like 11, 12 years old, she was actually not afraid to do that service in a very close way. So at a certain time she took the head of Krishna in her left hand so that he could lean his head, and with the right hand she took a very small brush and she started to paint the designs on Krishna's face, around the eyes, under the lips, the cheeks, everywhere she would make very beautiful designs. Krishna let her decorated him for a long time. He was very patient. He was letting her do. But after sometimes he would say, "Now that's enough, now that's enough." But she just could not stop. She would say, "No, a little more here, a little more there. It's soon finished, patient, patient." So when we make sandalwood, that's done. And often this sandalwood is thick and sometimes fell half, and it looks sometimes like cold down, that it never looks so beautiful. But Kupcha was really expert to make it really super soft, super thin, super beautiful, very beautiful. Could you see a little bit the scene of Kupcha flying? Sometimes she would take the very soft fingers of Krishna and she would hold them with the left hand, and with the right hand she would also make design on his hand. Oh my God. If at that time video camera would be available, that would be such a good capture of how Kupcha was decorating Krishna and Balarama. And the street was full of people and everyone was just looking. Everyone was just staring at Kupcha, looking how she would decorate Krishna and Balarama. Interesting. Radha Govinda, who is telling these pastimes, Radha Govinda Swami, is saying, "Oh, if there will be video camera at that time, it will be so good. Unfortunately, Lord Brahma created video camera too late." Like it's Lord Brahma who created the video camera, and he said he created that when actually there was nothing really special to be filmed anymore. It was too late. But nevertheless, it's up to us now to capture the picture in our heart. Just by the hearing ability, we should actually take those pictures in our heart and think of that and remember how Krishna was decorating, how Kupcha was decorating Krishna, how she would take the head and decorate and paint with the right hand. During that service, Kupcha forgot herself totally. She was not aware of her body anymore. She forgot she was hunchback. She forgot that millions of people were looking at her. She was just totally absorbed in her service. Like we should once come in our own service, to be totally absorbed and to forget everything from the external world into our service. And anyone who has this possibility to go on the altar and to apply this sandalwood paste to the deity must consider himself very fortunate. And he's actually training himself to do that to Krishna once for real. Now here I would like to make a little point that I feel it's relevant. It's according to demanding service or accepting service. And Krishna could have said to Kupcha, no need, give me just the sandalwood paste, I will put it myself on the body. But he saw she wanted to do service. So she just allow her to do service. Actually, Krishna was not caring much about the sandalwood paste. He had two desires. One desire was to allow her to serve him, and the other was to see everyone how he would reward her, so that everyone would become interested also to practice devotional service by seeing what is happening. But he was not interested directly about the sandalwood paste. But because he saw she has a desire to serve, so for so long he was patiently waiting that she would do that. And for so long he was actually serving her by allowing her to do that. And he was actually doing that to accept her love, her service. So often devotees have desire to serve, also to serve other Vaishnavas. But sometimes Vaishnavas think we should not accept any service. No, not it. And somehow we don't allow other to serve. And I think we should never demand service. Never ask service, please give me this, please give me that. But when we see someone has the genuine desire to serve, we should accept his service. It's like also like praise. Sometimes people want to praise you, and we know we want to be humble, so immediately when someone praises, it's no, that's totally wrong, I'm the fallen of the fallen. And it's like we don't accept the gift of sweet words that the person wants to give us. And here there is a very good tip. If someone is praising us, we can always say, this is because you have such a good heart, you see only good qualities. So you give back the praise, and at the same time you accept the praise, you accept the gift of praise that someone is giving. And of course, no one ever liked to give his plate to be washed. But even sometimes, in some circumstance or like this, it's not the harm. It's especially if we see the person has really an attitude that really the person wants to serve, we should allow him to do service. That's my personal feeling. It can be seen through different perspectives. Sometimes it is said also that Brahmachari should not accept service for Mataji or things like this. There are other
consideration
to see. But I think here Krishna also show an example. He sees she has desire to serve, so he just accepts the service as a service. The Lord became so pleased by this service that she did, by this painting she did. So he decided, I want to reward her immediately. And how will I do that? I want to put her straight. I want to put her back straight. Until now, Krishna had acted like an ordinary man, but now he was ready to show some special powers to bring her straight. So he did that in a very amazing way. The whole world, I could say, is worshipping Krishna's lotus feet. And now Krishna, he's stepping with his own feet, own very soft, reddish feet, on Kupcha's feet. In other words, very delicately, he steps on her feet. And with two fingers, he put his two fingers under the cheek, the chin of Kupcha, and the left hand, he put it behind her shoulder, and with a good jerk, he put it her straight. Jai. who can do that? That was not a super extraordinary display, but who can do that? Just by giving a little jerk on a person who has three bending place on his body to put it back like this, and just by the touch of Krishna's hand, Kupcha became much more beautiful than what she was already. She looked like she was a goddess. She was really super beautiful. She looked like Lakshmi personified. People were just amazed. They were all staring at the scene. So many people were there that the gopas had to keep a little bit the crowd back so that Kupcha could do her service properly and that Krishna could lift her up. Now we could compare the washerman who had been killed by Krishna and Kupcha. And there is interesting comparison. Is that the washerman did not like to give the clothes, but somehow Krishna got the clothes. Kupcha wanted to give, so Krishna got it. So the point is that we want to give, or we don't want to give to Krishna. Anyway, Krishna will receive everything at the end. So, what's the use to keep for oneself? Anyway, at the time of death, we will lose everything we have. So what is the difficulty to somehow let everything for Krishna? Krishna told them, you are more glorious than the washerman. Although both of you are servant of Kamsa, but because you could give, you are much more glorious than him. Now there is something very interesting. There are many commentaries of why was Krishna holding Kupcha under her chin. And what happened during that time when Krishna was holding her chin, just before the jerk. Yeah. So those explanations, they are given by the acharyas, and they are how they see the pastime. It's not that anyone can approve it was exactly like that, but they say it could have been like this, or it could have been like that. That's their meditation, their deep meditation on the pastime, and their realization in the heart that let them give some commentary like this. So one commentary is that when Krishna was holding the chin of Kupcha and was looking at her, he wanted her to understand, don't worry, I will protect you. The fact you have given me this sandalwood paste, I will protect you. Have no fear from Kamsa. I will always protect you. That was one of the messages going on between Krishna and Kupcha when he was holding the chin. Another explanation is that Kupcha became so beautiful that her face was like a mirror. Now, Krishna had just been gotten new clothes, a beautiful garland, and had been painted so beautifully by Kupcha that while he was holding her chin, he was actually looking himself into the mirror of her face, seeing how beautiful he was now. So now come another explanation. In her past life, Kupcha was Mantara. In past life, actually in Ram Lila, she was Mantara. And she, as Mantara, she had spoiled the mind of Kaikeyi, of Kaikeyi, so that Ramachandra will be sent in exile. So she did actually quite a bad work. Now the washerman was also there in Ram Lila, and he had offended the Lord, but in quite light way. He had told his wife, like, oh Rama, look at this Rama, he accepted Sita back, although she was in the house of Ravana, something like this. His offense was quite light in comparison to Mantara's offense of somehow organizing Lord Ram to be put in exile. So as Krishna was holding the chin of Kupcha, he told her, don't worry for this offense you did. Actually, I was very happy in the forest. It was very nice. So it's okay, I don't take it as an offense. And because at that time you took, by making that arrangement, you took my land, you took my kingdom. By sending me in the forest, you took away from me my kingdom, my land, my earth. But now you have given me earth again through the sandalwood paste. So your offense is nullified. You are completely alright. Don't worry for that. Would you like to hear more of those analogies, or it's enough information?
Some more.
Krishna told Kupcha, you are more glorious than Bali Maharaj. Why? When Vamana Dev came to Bali Maharaj and he asked for the 3 steps of land, Bali Maharaj made the vow that he would give 3 steps. And at that time, the way they will make vows, they will put a little water in their hands, and then they will say, I, Bali Maharaj, in this planetary system, in this place, in this planet, in this address, I promise that I will offer 3 steps of land to Vamanadev, or the name Vamanadev was had at that time, I don't know. And when the vow will be made, he will put this water in the hand of Vamanadev. So at that time, Krishna told Kupcha, you are much more glorious than Bali Maharaj, because Bali Maharaj made only my hand wet, but you have put it wet my entire upper body. So you are much more glorious than Vamanadev. He put only my head wet, but you put it my whole body. Also Krishna thought Brahma did not do his work well. How he did this hunchback to this beautiful lady. I am his father, actually. Brahma comes from me. Now I have to correct somehow the mistake of my son, so let me pick them up again. Yeah, that's how far I could go in that pastime. We will stop here. I have no notes anymore. There was a lot of informations, a lot of commentaries, a lot of different vision on seeing one pastime. We are not advancing so fast into the pastimes. It's going very slow. We are exploring many different layers of the different dimension of the pastime. I hope it was still giving you pleasure and happiness, and that some of those points can remain to you. I would like now to ask you what remains. It can be detail from past times, it can be maybe some of the points that were there for us. Now is your turn to speak. What remains in you?
Wonderful Krishna must be, and his spiritual, how spiritual energy it is actually not material body. Every limb is more beautiful than the other one, and the whole is so how nice it must be to see Krishna, just to see him, to speak of all the other things which offers in the spiritual world.
Yeah. Very nice. I was also thinking of that today when I was driving with the car. You see advertisement of beautiful ladies everywhere, and people are so much about beauty. I saw the top model, and I was thinking, top model? Is that a model? Really for the society? Then I was thinking, my God, it's really fake. It's really fake stuff. Krishna was really the real embodiment of beauty. And this transcendence in the beauty of Krishna, it's difficult for us really to imagine. But it's good to keep it in the background when we hear those descriptions. Also, it was written like when Krishna was acting so boldly that actually we should remember he's acting like he can do like he wants, because he's Bhagavan. Somehow we follow the pastime, but we should not forget that he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you.
I like the point that he chose to do this in the middle of the street. Then somebody could see, as you were saying, how if somebody served him, how should they are bored.
Yeah,
preaching, so to say. He's teaching, like, if you serve him, he's making a huge, a big show, actually. Big happening.
Preaching by example. He wanted to show everyone that that's the perfection of life. You will get all perfection by serving me. by serving the Supreme Lord. Just by this act of devotion, there will be the whole perfection. Yeah, very nice.
In the sculpture of seeing Krishna, for her was very easy to give up. Her life was this sandalwood paste. It's important or necessary to see Krishna somehow, somewhat, to also, it's more easier to give up something or to do something.
Yeah, that's a very nice point also. She had to make a big step to give up her service. She was risking her life, but just because she became so much attracted from her, actually the surrender was not so difficult because she was in love. She fell in love, so then when you are in love, actually it's quite easy to surrender. Therefore, we can get, although it's very far away or very difficult to get what we call a Sakshat Darshan of the Lord, to see the Lord directly. But by hearing about how He is, by hearing about His qualities, by hearing how He is acting with His devotees, by seeing Him as the deity, it's already a help. By giving us taste in our Krishna consciousness, it's a help that helps us to surrender. All those times when Krishna manifests in some way or other, it's like some small drops of taste that actually help us to surrender deeper. Thank you. Even our body will live. I think our body is the things we are the most attached to. But this also, we will have to let it back. Goranga, what is with you? What did you keep from the... I had once an amazing experience. We were in Mayapur for the Mayapur Parikram, and we came to this place where Advaita Acharya was staying. There is a big festival where they distribute big amount of khichdi. In Shantipur, yeah. And there was lecture, there was Jayapataka Swami giving the lecture, and there was thousands of Bengali. That was the specific day of the festival. That was really super crowded. And then I saw there was a small bowl of chandan and a flower, and the devotees were passing to each other, and they would put on themselves. They would give to the other one, and he would put on himself, and like this. And when I saw that, it just became like cling, and I just put it myself, like the next to get it. And when I got it, I started to go to every Vaishnava and put them the chandan myself. And it was such a good experience. It was, my heart was melting. And somehow, whenever it was becoming at the end, I would put some more water and continuing and more water. And maybe for 45 minutes, I was in these small things and just putting chandan in the forehead of all those Vaishnavas. And my heart was completely melted after that service. It was such a beautiful service. That since then, this year I bought some sandalwood, things to make sandalwood paste, and when there is some small gatherings or disciple meeting or small things, I prepare and I put on the Vaishnava's forehead. It's actually a very loving way. I mean, we should not put like a stamp, but you can put actually very, very nicely. It's very, very beautiful to do that service. So to do it also to the deities, it's... But do we do that to Jagannath?
Yeah.
Yeah? Wonderful. So I would like, if possible, to hear from everyone a little something they received. Today I want to hear from all of you. Yeah?
Yes, the point that Krishna accepted his servants was all there was no need for him to accept.
Thank you.
For me to say, in my opinion, it's important to learn that as people, if they accept themselves of other people, it's a big journey for people who are allowed to serve to other people. Sometimes it's maybe it's the only thing they can give.
Yeah, thank you. Hast du eine Point? Sprichst du gut Englisch? Auch vielleicht willst du in Deutsch sprechen?
Ja, naja. Ja, das ist mein erster Tag hier.
Okay. Kein Problem. Dankeschön und willkommen. So, now we come to the Mataji corner. What did you keep from this pastime? Okay, thank you. Krishna Nama Mataji.
What? I understand that to be somehow deeply sent in the service, special service, that you forget yourself. And self-interest in just seeing Krishna without consideration. How many people are looking for
And actually this point is also very helpful when we are doing kirtan. One of the main impediments when we are engaged in kirtan is that we are too self-centered. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the time when there was kirtan mentioned, it is said the devotee will forget themselves. They will forget who is looking at me, how I'm dancing, how I'm playing, how I'm singing. They will forget all that. They will just forget themselves in the kirtan. And when we can forget ourselves in kirtan or in any service, then service becomes really so pleasurable. So immediately you feel ecstasy. Immediately you feel love in your heart when we can come to that point of forgetting ourselves. So service, very nice. Remember it.
Yeah, I also like this one more. And then it's also ich wechsle.
Ja.
Mich hat es berührt, wie sie sich so ganz hingibt an die Dinge und wie Krishna sie dann so aufnimmt. Kann mir das richtig gut vorstellen.
Can you just translate? I did not understand everything. Ja, danke. So, I'm sorry that I ask everyone to speak. It was maybe a little bit spontaneous. But I thank you for your participation. I was spending.
Oh,
yeah! Yeah, very good.
I point that if we give something from ourselves up to Krishna, then Krishna will take up or save us.
Like no fear. Yeah, we can surrender, we can give everything to Krishna. He's ready to back us, to protect us. Yeah, very good. Anything to share?
Would I give Krishna?
Or whatever you keep from the lecture, whatever point or whatever.
I think important is to give love to Krishna.
Thank you. So I think we can do like usually. We can turn back to the deities. Maybe 5 minutes singing. Or is it too late? 5 minutes is good. I think it's good also to review in our mind's eyes. And I liked it very much, like Kohanga, this time when Kubja is actually applying the sandalwood paste and how to see Krishna allowing himself to be painted. It's for me the visual part that is the most beautiful. So can we ask Gauranga again to lead the bhajan? Yeah?